Good evening. Welcome in to another edition of Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, here at Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. Everything Purple here to recap some of the best content the Vikings Entertainment Network produced over the past week. And as we say, the content is always better after a victory. The Vikings got a victory on Sunday, upending the St. Louis Rams at TCF Bank Stadium in overtime with another walk-off winner by Blair Walsh. The Vikings win 21-18. We went in depth on the Vikings' victory over the Rams in the latest edition of the Wobcast. Here's what it sounded like. We're sorry for the delay, folks. We're a little bit late getting the early week Wobcast up, but we were trying to get into the studio. Linval Joseph was in the hallway, and we just couldn't get around him. So it's kind of been a theme for a lot of people who encountered Linval Joseph. So we're a little bit late this week. We apologize for that. Yeah, as you heard, the Vikings walked off winners with Blair Walsh nailing a 40-yard field goal in overtime to give the Vikings a victory on Sunday, a victory that moves your favorite team to 6-2. They have won four straight, and they are sitting atop the NFC North with the Green Bay Packers at 6-2. Another very good day for the Vikings as they won their four straight. This was a meaty victory, folks. A lot of things to talk about. This was a rough and tumble, a physical, a hard-nosed, a hard-hitting game. And in those types of games, you need your veterans to step up. That's what the Vikings got on Sunday. Let's go through the list of players who played well, and you'll notice that they're basically all veteran players. We'll start with the running back. Adrian Peterson tops Todd Gurley in a showdown of two of the better backs in the NFL. Adrian Peterson, 29 carries, 125 yards, and one touchdown. He also had 18 receiving yards on the day. All told, your NFL rushing leader through week 9 in the NFL, Adrian Peterson. This is the 36th week in Adrian's career that he has been atop the NFL rushing charts. Remember, he is a two-time NFL leading rusher and a three-time NFC leading rusher. Right now, he is your NFL rushing leader. It will be fun to see if he can keep up that pace all game long. Adrian wore out that St. Louis Rams defense on Sunday. Let's go to the defensive side of the football and talk about a guy up front who is an all-star right now for the Vikings. That is Linval Joseph. 8 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, a half a sack on Sunday against the Rams. And when he wasn't impacting the box score, he was still impacting the game and allowing other guys to run around, make tackles, get sacks, and do their thing. Linval leads all NFL defensive tackles through week 9 in solo tackles with 26. He is having a Pro Bowl caliber season. Get to Vikings.com and cast your vote to get Linval to the Pro Bowl. The guy is on fire right now. Another guy who was on fire on Sunday, Chad Greenway, led the team in tackles with 12, already playing extra snaps because of the injury to Eric Kendricks. So Chad was playing not only base defense, but was also playing in our sub packages. Then Audie Cole gets hurt, so Chad has to play middle linebacker for the first time in his career. He figured it all out, came away with 12 tackles, one of them for a loss, and played in all 74 defensive snaps. Great job by veteran Chad Greenway stepping up. Another player who continues to come up clutch, Marcus Sherrills. Last week, it was a 65-yard punt return touchdown. That was one of the more underrated plays of the game. This week, it was a 26-yard punt return in overtime that got the Vikings offense to start at midfield for what turned out to be the game-winning field goal drive. Without that 26-yard punt return, you have to wonder if the Vikings offense would have been able to drive so easily for that field goal. So Marcus Sherrills, another underrated play, and once again comes up huge for the Vikings. A good afternoon for the Vikings on Sunday. They win, the Packers lose. Now the Vikings and Packers knotted at 6-2 atop the NFC North. So can the Vikings actually win the NFC North? A couple of our guys from the NFL Network, LaDainian Tomlinson and Mooch, Steve Mariucci, think it's not such a crazy question.
Yes, they have the same record as the Packers. But going in the second half of the season, is there a possibility they could be better? Because it just doesn't feel that way. Are they ready to surpass the Packers in the NFC North?
I don't know if they're ready, Chris, to surpass the Packers. But I do know they have a solid football team. And they're doing the things that they need to do to win games and win close games. And I think that's because of Zimmer. Right. He has his defense playing unbelievable. They're only giving up about 17 points a game. They have not given up over 23 points in any ball game.
Good.
They run the ball with Adrian Peterson. play conservative on offense. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And as long as you do that, you will have a chance to win games.
Yeah, right now they're tied with the Packers with record, and they play twice, okay? They'll play home and away with the Packers. Seems to me the Packers are hitting a little bit of a skid right now, okay? And it seems to me that the Vikings are on an uptick. They've got the runner. They've got the quarterback, provided he's healthy, and I think he will be. And they've got a defense that's playing hard. I think it's all out there for this Viking team. They got to keep it together. Stephon Diggs, this young rookie receiver, is really showing up, too. I like this team.
Circle January 3rd at Lambeau Field, Vikings at Packers. Last day of the season. That could be fun.
A key cog to the Vikings' performance this season, specifically the fantastic defensive performance from the Vikings this season, has been defensive tackle Linval Joseph, a guy who Mike Zimmer says does a lot of the dirty work and therefore doesn't get all of the credit. But in the past couple of weeks, he's been making some splash plays, and he did so against the Rams. 8 tackles, and 3 of those tackles came for a loss. He teamed with Andrew Sendejo for half a sack. Before he had that great performance against the Rams, Linval Joseph joined Paul Allen on Vikings game plan.
When things are going well for you during the course of the game and you're having good game after good game like you do, what's happening? What goes so well?
Man, right now I just feel like everybody's playing together. Together football, it makes it easier for me to make plays because everybody's doing their job and the ball is cutting back and I'm there to make the play.
Mike Zimmer gave lots of props for him, but watch him absolutely destroy Patrick Omame there. That play had nowhere to go with that type of penetration from a big nose tackle.
When it comes to the defensive line and the offensive line in the trenches, as they say, how nasty and mean does it get in there?
I mean, it's very physical. Most people don't see, or they do see, they don't understand, is most time it's 2 guys on one. So you got 600 pounds versus 300, 280, 290, like Tom Johnson, he's 290. So you have to be very fundamentally sound. Can't really make too many mistakes, because if you do, you will hurt yourself.
And let's see if they've made an adjustment, because I think the guy who's standing out defensively right now is Linval Joseph.
Yep.
He is all over the place, and he has not allowed anything to get past the line of scrimmage. So,
what kind of attention do you generally get in there? I mean, do you see a lot of double teams? Do they put a big focus on you?
I mean, yeah, I feel like I see a lot of double teams, and when I do get a one-on-one, I try to take advantage of it. But most time, my job is to take two, let the linebackers fall off of me.
You know, I've had a couple really good nose tackles in my career. This guy's maybe the best. He's good. He's really good. He was a guy that every time we went back out on the field in defense in the second half, he'd say, keep your foot on the pedal, coach. And I said, yes, sir.
What are some defensive keys for not only the defensive line but the overall defense going against a guy like Todd Gurley today?
Todd Gurley, we just going to have to just play small ball. Everybody do their job, and we can't have nobody come out, fall out their gap, because as you can see, he breaks one big run every game for 50 to 70 yards. So, and then most times that comes off a guy trying to be Superman, trying to do too much or run out their gap.
So is he more of a home run hitter or kind of a grinder like Adrian's been this year?
I see some similarity in both of the running backs, but AP is a different breed than Todd Gurley. He's going to be good, but right now he's just trying to do the best he can do for his team.
Do they look to pass much, and what are some defensive line keys to getting to Nick Foles?
I just feel like we have to stop the run, and by stopping the run, then we have an opportunity to get off of Nick Foles. He's a very good deep ball guy. I played against him when he was in Philly, so I know him a little bit, but he's very, very good of throwing the ball deep down the field.
Vikings defense is tough, and Mike Zimmer's done a nice job. You think about 2013, before he got here, John, they were last in points allowed.
It's important defensive stat, and you point, Rondé, is points given up, and 17, second best in the league coming in.
Your current coach, Mike Zimmer, your previous coach, Tom Coughlin, any similarities between those two?
I mean, very fair guys. They both are very fair guys. They want to win, and they're going to do whatever it takes to win.
New to the Vikings, but not new to a Mike Zimmer defense, is cornerback Terrence Newman. This is his first season with the Vikings, but he's had 2 previous stops in the NFL with Mike Zimmer. Now he's teaming with Zimmer right here in Minnesota, and he's playing well. Vikings Beyond the Gridiron took a closer look at how Terrence has been able to fit in with the Vikings.
When he takes the field on Sundays, he matches up with opponents who grew up watching him play. He looks at his teammates and sees many players who are a decade younger than him. But that longevity is what makes his time on the field that much better.
You know, it's just the fact that I get to wake up in the morning, compete with guys that are 10, 11, 12 years younger than me, and, you know, see what I have against them. To me, that's like, that's one of the greatest things that I get to do at my age, and, you know, coming here, is I get to compete with young guys. And to me, that's a blessing, you know, to be able to do that and have taken care of my body good enough that I can do that.
No player has a longer history with Mike Zimmer than Newman, who played for the head coach both in Dallas for four seasons and Cincinnati for two. They shared a bond and mutual respect, which made it an easy decision for Newman to come to Minnesota.
If you ask me, he's a defensive guru, so, you know, he's it was well overdue for him to be a head coach. And he's one of the best, you know, defensive minds in the game. So, you know, if you're a defensive player, of course you want to play for one of the best coaches, if not the best defensive coach.
Not only have they been together for years, they have a similar philosophy when it comes to being prepared for Sundays. They both come from families with the mentality that hard work brings success. That attitude was learned by Newman at an early age.
I was born and raised in Salina, Kansas. You know, more of a, like, smaller town, kind of country. You got wheat fields, you got cattle, you know, and every weekend I used to just go fishing. Me and a couple buddies, like, their dad would take us out, go to the river. We get there, you know, in the evening, just before sunset, pick out a nice little spot, and, you know, we could go there and stay there till 2 a.m.
He had quite the role model to help show him how to succeed.
You see your mother go to work and then get off and then have to go another work later, and, you know, there were times where, you know, you might not have cable, or, you know, you might not have lights, you know, but your mother is trying to provide for you and give you everything that you need. You know, I need football shoes, or I need, you know, basketball shoes, whatever it is, you know, she provided it. So, you know, to understand the sacrifices that people go through, you know, to deliver for their kids, that's like something that drives anybody.
Taking the lessons learned from his mother, Newman became a first-round pick and now finds himself a two-time Pro Bowl corner and 13-year NFL veteran. His work ethic, success, and drive command instant respect in the locker room, and his knowledge of the game is soaked up by his younger teammates.
He's playing well, and the thing is, I've told him is, you got to be Terrence Newman, and if the other guys don't get it, I don't need to be worrying about you. He's doing that, and then also in the meeting room, he's talking to those guys about, hey, what about this, what about that? So he's taking his experiences that these young guys don't have, and he's kind of giving them that. And you can't get that as a coach. You know, I could only tell him, but I can't get out there with him. He's talking to those guys about what could happen other than what's going to happen. And that's more confident to me, because I know I've actually been through that transition.
Still competing at the age of 37, when most of his draft class have been retired for years, Terrence Newman is the perfect example of how to succeed, not only in football, but in life. He learned the importance of hard work at an early age, and now he's hoping in year 13 that his work ethic will help bring January success to the Minnesota Vikings.
To me, I haven't accomplished anything. You know, I've been able to play for 12 years, you know, but what is that, you know, without a Super Bowl, you know, without playoff wins? You know, I've got one playoff win in my belt. So, you know, for me, I'm not satisfied, you know, so I haven't done anything, you know, and that's why I'm here today.
All right, it's time to go to break. Before we do, here's a programming note. Join host Mike Musman along with Vikings wide receiver Charles Johnson at the Saloon in Waconia this Thursday at 5:30 p.m. for Vikings Country. You could win Vikings tickets and a trip to the Miller Lite touchdown in the tropics in Mexico. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. And for more everything purple, stay tuned. Welcome back. It's Everything Purple, and I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We have more show to go, but first, let us tell you about this. The Vikings are giving away a pair of tickets to the first game in their new home, plus an exclusive on-field experience. Register now at usbankstadium.com/contest. As distinct a voice as there is in sports broadcasting is that of Greg Gumbel. He's called a lot of great sporting events, not just in the NFL, but sporting events as a whole. He was in town a few weeks ago calling the Vikings-Chiefs game, and when he was here, we caught up with him to talk shop.
Hi, Greg. Welcome into the studio.
I'm glad to be here. Thank
well,
you.
Well, we're glad you are here. You're going to talk to us about Vikings and Chiefs. You're here at the facility for production meetings, which you do every single week. What do you learn in production meetings?
I think more than anything else, production meetings are for, in all honesty, in case the game goes south. If all of a sudden you're in the middle of the second quarter and it is 45-3. You really need something else to talk about. It's why we get to know players and coaches, not just their approach to the game, which really doesn't change very much from week to week, but background information and what players like to do and or how they got to where they are or even their personality. As an example, we were upstairs today and Stefon Diggs just stopped in and said hello. And he just, I mean, we didn't know what an effervescent type of guy he is. He was a pleasure to talk to. Some of the things we just sat down and it was like you were sitting around in a basement, you know, with a TV on in the background. And he was fun to talk to. He was fun to get to know. And those are the reasons why, you know, if you're very, very blessed if you don't ever have to go to that material during the football game. If the game is good enough, it takes care of itself. It's only when you start to have to, what we call, empty the bucket to talk about other things that you hope holds interest.
You've done a lot of AFC games, in the recent part of your career. So maybe you know Mike Zimmer better than most. What are your impressions of Coach Zimmer now that you've met with him as a head coach?
I told him I told him just a few minutes ago. I said I see all of those seeds that you planted in Cincinnati are beginning to bloom.
Undefeated team.
He is highly respected around the league for his abilities as a coach. And I'm interested to see. And I thought the Vikings made a good choice in Mike Zimmer. His strengths obviously are defensive, and yet those labels are so unfair, because if they say, well, he's a defensive guy, well, if he's a defensive specialist, what makes you think he doesn't know anything about offense? Because he's looking at offense all week long in an effort to prepare his defense. But as a coach, I have a world of respect for him. I happen to like him as a person. I think it'll be interesting to see his evolution as a head coach, which is a whole different world. And he told us upstairs it's all the additional responsibilities, the media responsibilities, and the time that it takes to do all of these things as a head coach that you really don't have to do when you're a coordinator. So I think that's an adjustment for him. We're always talking about players making an adjustment. I think the coach has to make an adjustment too.
Yeah. You're an accomplished broadcaster. You've done a lot in your career. What are some memories when you look back, some great games or great moments in your career as a broadcaster?
Well, I was here with Dan Dierdorf when Adrian Peterson ran for 296.
Okay, good one.
And not only that, but in the same game, it was against San Diego, and Antonio Cromartie returned a missed field goal, 109 yards
right
for a touchdown
halftime.
Right at halftime, yeah. So that was pretty memorable. And, you know, in fact, Dierdorf and I were on our way to the airport, and he goes, well, you know, how many NFL records do you get to do in the same game? I thought that was fun. I've done two Super Bowls, which I thought were fun. I've been fortunate to be able to do the things that I've done in my career, and not just one thing, but you know, like, kind of like the variety of things that I've done. I've hosted Olympics and hosted college basketball and March Madness, and I've done Major League Baseball playoffs, and I think it's a matter and you know. The difference between doing games out in the field and hosting the NFL today is also a pretty varied thing, and all of it has been enjoyable, and I think that I can say that I haven't disliked any of it. It's probably because I haven't done soccer, which is good, because I would have disliked that. I'm one of those that believes you just should go straight to the shootout in soccer, just save everybody a lot of time and energy. But I think I've been pretty fortunate, and obviously I love it.
Any favorite Vikings in Viking history?
Well, you know, when I did, I got my start at the NBC affiliate in Chicago back in 1973. And, one of the guys I got to know really well was Alan Page. And the last show that I did, he was in our studio as a guest on a nightly basis talking about various things. and he was on the last show that I did there, and he was one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. And he's one of those guys that you can't believe was this fearsome, horrible, man-eating, you know, defensive lineman. And on top of everything else, you know, if anybody who ever gets to meet him know there's so much more to him than that. You know, this mountain of intelligence. And I don't know if he still runs marathons. Does he do that? Is he still a runner?
He probably does. He does like everything else.
But I do remember him. And I worked with Ahmad Rashad when I was at NBC. So I heard all of the stories to that, and the Bud Grant stories, and you know, everybody has a story. You know, the Vikings aren't any different. And I think you only get to look. We are sometimes defined by those people that we know. My first ever partner doing games at CBS was Kenny Stabler.
Wow.
Which, you know, in some parts of the neighborhood, you kind of figure, well, you're kind of lucky that you still have a liver, you know, right. Because Kenny was not only Kenny liked to party, but he liked to party with someone. And if I was the nearest one, he'd go, come on, Greg, let's go have one. But he was a gem to work with. And that's the other thing that you learn in this business. I've been fortunate. I can't ever say that I ever had a bad partner to work with, whether it was Ken Stabler or Dan Dierdorf or Trent Green now doing games or in the studio. Worked with Terry Bradshaw in college basketball. I've worked with Clark Kellogg. And I used to do NBA games with Bill Walton and Steve Jones and Major League Baseball games with a number of people who were terrific. So I've been fortunate. When you have a terrific partner to work with, you can screw up and get away with it sometimes.
All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, Greg.
My pleasure.
Okay, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Everything Purple. A reminder, a preview of what's coming up later this week on Vikings.com. Mike Zimmer was wired for the Vikings' victory over the St. Louis Rams. So get up close and personal with the Vikings head coach as he helps guide his team to victory over the Rams. Again, that's going to be up on Vikings.com later in the week. Should be up tomorrow. Go to the site and check that out. And if you haven't already, download the Vikings app, and all of your favorite Vikings content will be delivered straight to your mobile device. We'll be back again next week, next Tuesday night, with another edition of Everything Purple. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wabshaw. We wish you a good night and leave you on a good note.